It's the fourth Sunday of the Pentecost period, or the period after the Holy Resurrection. And the church focuses this morning to us, the readings focus about Christ as being the light of the world. He's the light of the world. And it's interesting, he says here something that perhaps might miss us. It says, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. You know, if you think about it, this is a warning and also a precaution. Walk while you're in the light, lest the darkness overtake you. As we know, light or darkness is simply the absence of light. Darkness is the absence of light. If you go into a room and turn off the light, it's dark. As soon as you light a candle, we say there is light in the room. So light always conquers darkness. But when the Lord is speaking here, he says, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. It seems like the darkness is the one in pursuit, right? Why? Because he's speaking back to us who are, received the light of Christ. So if we have the light of Christ, now darkness is seeking to overtake us and to push the darkness out of our life. There are many forms of darkness that perhaps can challenge the light that is in us. There are many types of darkness that try to push the light of Christ out of our life and our hearts. And remember the Lord Christ, he said about himself here, he said that I am the light of the world. And the Sermon on the Mountain, he tells the Christians the same thing, you and I. He says that you are the light of the world, right? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? And glorify your Father in heaven. So we are called to be light. So Christ gave us his light that we might become children of light and sons of light, and through us we can enlighten the world. So I'd like to speak this morning about a couple of forms of darkness that challenge the light that is within us. The first one is the challenge of worldly knowledge. The challenge of worldly knowledge. Of course, knowledge is not bad because God gave us our minds, and he gave us a mind far superior than any other animal he created. For our minds are not bad, but they're not bad if we use it for the glory of God. However, it can sometimes be a source of darkness in our life. For example, there are those who seek knowledge as power. Actually, there's a saying that says that. Knowledge is power, right? So I'm seeking to gain knowledge so I can have power and authority over those around me. So when I speak, people listen, and I get this sense of power. Also, there's a source of knowledge or a type of knowledge that's mingled with pride. Mal-kibriya, right? Kibriyat. There's a source of knowledge mingled with pride. This type of knowledge is self-seeking, right? Where I want to gain a knowledge for my own personal gain, right? Sometimes people gain knowledge in ways to manipulate, right? People might spend hours, for example, researching some way on the internet to manipulate the system and to steal something that perhaps isn't theirs, or to steal something so no one will know. I can also use knowledge and exploit loopholes, right? Again, I can search, different laws and things like this so I can find a loophole to get what I want. So people like this, even those hackers, that hack into computers and servers and things like this, they search for vulnerabilities and loopholes in the system. They use their knowledge in a way that is destructive and not constructive. Finding ways to cheat, right? People, in school and in college, they find infinite ways to cheat. Once one way, is figured out and the professors catch on, or the teachers catch on, they find another way. This type of knowledge is destructive, and it kind of pushes the light of Christ in our life out. That's why St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Knowledge that is self-seeking and knowledge for the sake of power puffs up, makes person proud. And of this type of knowledge, Solomon the Wise tells us in Ecclesiastes, he says, he who increases knowledge will increase sorrow, will increase suffering. He who increases knowledge will increase suffering. So if I increase in knowledge for the sake of power and out of pride, guess what? I will suffer in the end. I will suffer. Because it's exactly this pride and this desire for power which brings man to their own destruction. This type of knowledge tries to rob us of the light of knowing oneself. Rather than growing in the knowledge of oneself and of my sins and of my weaknesses and of the light of Christ who came to enlighten that, I grow in knowledge for the sake of my own pride and power. The second type of darkness that challenges our light is the overuse of digital media. The overuse. Taban, this is something that we all know and have experienced. I'm not preaching something that is new or novel. These digital types of medias, they're tailored and made to consume our valuable time. You'll find a way that these applications that are successful, in their design is a way to keep you coming back, right? Whether it be through likes, whether it be through certain streaks, whether it be whatever it is, they do something to try to keep you coming back. Or how about the notification, right? As soon as somebody posts something new on Facebook, it pops up on your phone. So you get this dopamine rush and you want to go check, you know, and see what's going on with your friends and family and so on, right? So they're designed a way to consume our time. Also, they've shown that these overuse of this digital content and media decreases our ability to concentrate. And in this, we can probably just look at ourselves, right? It makes it very difficult to read in a traditional manner. What do I mean? To pick up a paper book and to read. Right, we're so used to being stimulated by the lights and videos and flashing that anything other than this is boring. Right, so you tell somebody, okay, stand up and pray the Igbaya. What do you mean, stand up? The Igbaya is not flashing. There are no videos in the Igbaya. We're saying the same thing over and over again. Are you kidding me? This is so boring. Because we got so accustomed to being overstimulated that only this overstimulation satisfies us and keeps us engaged. But the overuse of these kind of devices make it very difficult for us to concentrate and give our attention to anything that's not stimulating. Also, the overuse of the digital media makes us restless in silence. And of course, restless in silence makes us also restless in prayer, because in prayer there should be some in silence, right? So the overuse of this digital content, you'll find it more difficult for us to be quiet, to sit with nothing going on. I bet if I just stopped giving the sermon for just less than a few seconds, people would be getting uncomfortable. Why is Abuna looking at us? What's next? Right? Sitting in silence and stillness, again, the overuse of this stimulation, these stimulating devices, makes it very hard for us to concentrate. And this robs us of the light of Christ within us. The light, again, of knowing oneself. How can I look inside of me if I can't sit quietly with myself? How can I know God if I can't pray to Him, right? That's why St. Paul tells us of all the things, you know, that perhaps can be used for good but are abused for evil and darkness. He tells us, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. So there can be things that are lawful here. He's speaking of things that aren't evil in and of themselves. But then what? They are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So think, you know, yes, they could be helpful, but it can also be harmful, right? And if I find myself being brought under the power of these digital devices, then there's something wrong, right? Then we see this darkness is really trying to overtake the light that is already in you. This is number two, overuse of digital media. Number three is the affinity of darkness, the affinity for darkness, right? The attraction of one, of a person to the way of darkness, the way of, you know, the world. The Lord Christ in John chapter 3 tells Nicodemus, and he sums it up, and he says, and this is the condemnation. So if we think about, okay, what is the condemnation? If God were to say, okay, the condemnation that's in the world, what it's going to be, why is this the world being condemned, right? And he goes on and says, this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So the condemnation is not simply the presence of darkness, but the condemnation is you have a better option. You have the presence of light, but yet I still choose and have affinity for darkness. You know, we say this and we all kind of live, okay, there's a certain affinity towards darkness. But then you put on the opposite side of the spectrum. You know, if everybody was put and locked in a cave somewhere, right? And then you'll see this, and you'll find there's a small point of dark of light that's coming in. Will we not go to that light because this is going to be the way of our freedom? Yes, we would. Why isn't we don't do the same thing but in our spiritual life? We see this place is a place of darkness. I go to the darkness and want to be in bondage, and I turn my back to the way of light. The attraction of movement towards darkness will rob us of the light of the Holy Spirit that is within us. And you know, Satan's way is usually the way that is very subtle. You know, Paul tells us in Hebrews, he says, therefore we must give the most earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. So he says, pay attention to the things you've heard from him, from the apostles, from the church. Why? Lest we drift away. Does somebody drift away quickly? No. Usually his drifting away is very subtle. It's very slow. It's like going into the beach with a small current, and you'll find yourselves a few minutes later, you can't even see your umbrella, where it is, because you've drifted. You've been playing in the beach and the sand and all of this, and you find yourself very far away from where you started. Right? It's a slow drift. The only way to break this affinity of darkness or this affinity for darkness is to expose it. That's why a verse after he tells us the condemnation, he tells us the remedy. He says, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So how do we remedy this affinity for darkness? Expose the darkness. And where do we expose this darkness in our life? It's in confession, right? Where I come in and tell Abuna, and I tell God, this is the area of darkness in my life. I expose it. And the more we expose, the more we are left in light, right? But when we hide from the light, turn our backs to the light, and turn our faces towards darkness, and we refuse to repent, then darkness will overtake us. The next challenge, or the next darkness that challenges light within us is or people, can be people. And the Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord warns us and says, beware of men. Hazaru min an-nas. Beware of men, beware of people. Beware of people in what way? Beware of people that influence you, that influence you. And mind you, it's, you know, and if you think about it, how often have I made a decision? And I look back and I regret the decision that I made, and I find that this decision was made because of somebody else's influence on me. Oftentimes, many of us can think of this, I regretted doing this, but so-and-so and so-and-so told me to do so-and-so, and I believed them, and I made this mistake, right? This is actually, you know, human nature. It's in our nature not only to be influenced, but to also influence. We try to influence one another. We try to convince one another. But what is the key here? The key here is the kind of influence. The kind of influence. Is it positive or negative influence? The pressures that we receive, the peer pressure around us, and peer pressure is not only a pressure among the youth, but even among the adults. But it just takes a different form. You know, maybe as kids, the peer pressure is, don't be this person's friend, right? But as adults, it's like, well, you need to do your work dishonestly or else you're not going to succeed. Look at the rest of your coworkers. They're doing things that are dishonest, and look how successful they are. You want to be successful? Then I suggest you do this, right? Different type of peer pressure. It's all the same, but it just looks a little bit differently. If you look at this, there's also peer pressure in maintaining a status, right? Maybe somebody may not tell you or make you feel pressure by their words, but simply you feel pressured by the status of other people. I might feel pressured to go into a certain college because all my friends are going. They'll encourage me to do what I like. This is very nice and noble of them. But I perhaps feel a pressure to maintain some kind of status. Somebody around me in the community gets this kind of car, And then as they're passing by, they make eye contact with me, and I feel the pressure to match them or to live in this neighborhood or that, right? There's this pressure of maintaining a social status or some kind of status. If you look at this, the Pharisees are very good at making the people feel this way. They had a certain status, and they made people that challenged their status pay for it. In John chapter 12, in this gospel of today, if you pay close attention, when he speaks about him being the light, he says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him." So even among the rulers of the Jews, the elites, the people who understood and who had authority and who had some kind of power, some of them believed in him. But what kept them from him? He goes on to say, "But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." So the pressure that the society or the Pharisees put upon them kept them from following him, although they believed. Then you have somebody on the opposite spectrum who's this poor, blind fellow, right? Who's sitting as a beggar, who meets the Lord Christ and he heals him. He gives him his eyes back. And this poor beggar is able to stand against all of the pressures of the society and all the pressures of the Pharisees and even the pressure of his parents. Remember the story of the man born blind? The Pharisees brought his parents to him and says, "Attest that this is your son," and how he got his eyesight back. They said, "We can say that he's our son, but how he got his eyesight, we don't know. Because we know if we say that it was a miracle by the Jesus, then we'll be kicked out of the synagogue." And they weren't willing to go that far. But this blind man was willing to go that far. He didn't let the pressures of the people around him influence him in a negative way. He stayed true to the truth, right? He didn't allow this type of darkness to overcome and overtake him. Another type of darkness that frequently overtakes us or can overtake us is hatred. Hatred. Look what the St. John says in 1 John chapter 2. "He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now." So if I come and I say that I'm in light, but there's somebody, one person that I hate, guess what? I'm in darkness. Darkness is incompatible with light. Darkness is incompatible with heaven. Hatred is incompatible with heaven. If I hate one person, I can potentially risk my salvation. Because if that person happens to make it to heaven, I won't, if I hate him, then I'll keep myself out of heaven. So now who's going to be my judge? Me or God? If you hate, you will be your own judge. You will be your own judge. You will keep yourself out of the kingdom of heaven. St. John continues and says, "He who loves his brother abides in light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Those who believe and say that I can live in light but still hate my brother are gravely mistaken. So I challenge us to think, if there's somebody in my life or in my that I hate, I need to do as much as I can to reconcile. Again, reconciliation takes two parts, but at least do your part. Be willing to talk, be humble, right? Be willing to make some compromise if need be, because this can jeopardize our salvation. This type of darkness is perhaps one of the stronger types of darkness that tries to overtake the light that is within us. The next type of darkness is a darkness of indifference. You know indifference? Like, I don't care. It's okay. You want to come to church? Sure, I'll come to church. No, it's okay. Things of God, the things of the world, it's all indifference. The things that are right, the things that are wrong, it's okay. I'm indifferent to them. This indifference is very dangerous. Again, it's a type of darkness. Because if there's an indifference to light, we will lean towards darkness. Right? We will lean towards darkness. Because Satan will not leave us until he brings us to darkness. So if I'm indifferent, you are in darkness. Listen to what Saint Cyril of Alexandria says. He says, "We must therefore not scorn the divine gifts, but rather set great store by what we have from God. The gifts will be pleased to dwell in us when we show interest. The gifts of God, the graces of God, will show interest in living within us, will be interested in living with us, if we show interest in having, you know, Him in us, having the light. If by contrast we prove indifferent and remiss about it, it will completely take its leave. It will completely take its leave. So if I'm indifferent to the light, then the light will flee. If I'm indifferent to the church, then the church to you will flee. The church is always here, but to you it will flee. The desire to come to church, the desire to take communion will flee if I'm indifferent to it. Indifference is darkness. And lastly, the last darkness is the darkness of ignorance, the ignorance of light. In today's gospel, it says, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. So his word is what will judge us. As I explained earlier, the condemnation is that light is available and we choose darkness. The light is available, but yet we choose darkness. So our ignorance of the light can be the source of darkness in our life. What do you mean ignorance of the light? Ignorance of the work of God. Ignorance of His work in my life. Ignorance of the gifts that He has given me. Right? Ignorance of the mysteries of the doctrine of the church and of what's written in the Bible. Ignorance of Him, who He is, and what He likes. Ignorance of what the requirements to His kingdom, His commands. If there's an ignorance and I am okay being ignorant, then the darkness will overtake us. Because if we don't know the light, the darkness will overtake us. The question I leave you with is, do I want to know Him? Do I want to live in darkness? And let not the darkness overtake us. May the light of Christ dwell within us and dwell within us richly. And let us not focus on these few points of darkness. I'll mention them quickly. We said that there are some darknesses that try to overtake this light. The darkness of worldly knowledge. Not knowledge, the darkness of worldly knowledge that doesn't glorify God. The overuse of digital media that tries to rob us of the time. The affinity for darkness rather than light. Perhaps people that take us away and influence us in the way of darkness and keep us from living a repentant life. Hatred, indifference, and finally the ignorance of the light. May I grant us all to live in His light. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.